Blog Talk Radio.
I'm glad I know you.
Now for all of you that are out there listening,
I'm glad you know me.
I need you just to close your eyes. And I need you to think about your personal relationship with the Father right now. How good he's been.
We're one big family.
And family, let's just give God praise. It's time to worship. Hold this up. Lift up holy hands. Oh, you've been so good to me. All because of Jesus. You shed the blood out there on the Calvary.
You gave your life.
You gave your
hallelujah.
Oh, I need a witness up in here.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Roger Jones. Brother Jones has been with us for a while, and he always does an awesome, awesome job, and I know today he will do no less. I ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Jones, you are on the air.
Good morning and welcome to Grace View. Grace Nurture, we certainly appreciate you for tuning in. I bring you greetings from the Taylor Street Church of Christ in Kenton, Tennessee. That's in West Tennessee on the Kentucky and Tennessee line. If you have been watching the national news, you know this past Friday there was a tremendous tornado that came through this part of our country and done some devastation. In Mayfield, Kentucky, there were several people's lives lost, and they were still rescuing people from a factory where people were working. And in the city in which I preach, in Kenton, Tennessee, there was some devastation, some very expensive homes and some less expensive homes and some businesses that were destroyed. We are imploring your prayers as we go through this transition of devastation. We ask that you pray for us continuously and pray for the families that have lost loved ones. Thank God that the place I preach in the city, the building was not touched. It was about a quarter of a mile from our building where the tornado struck in our city. All of our members, their homes are still safe. They lost nothing, and we are thankful for the grace of God in that direction. So please keep us in prayer and that we can get through this devastation with your prayers and with the providential help of God. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 through 14, Jesus, in verse 12, is dealing with the golden rule. We left off last week with a thought about a one-sentence golden rule has to do three things. Number one, it demands true justice. It insists that men be treated justly in all situations. Number two, it includes real love. It insists that men actively do good and even go beyond and do more than good. And thirdly, it teaches the whole law. It insists that men do all that the law teaches us to do. There are three things that are required of men, all men. Number one, that is to know what Christ taught. Number two, to believe what Christ taught. And number three, to do what Christ taught. It is not enough to know or believe the golden rule. We must live it. Two simple rules can revolutionize a person's life or society itself. Number one, we should be treating God as we want God to treat us. And secondly, we should treat others as we want others to treat us. In practice, the golden rule says several things. We should not treat men the way they treat us. Good for good, evil for evil. Number two, we should not treat men the way they think they should be treated. Number three, we should not treat men the way they think they should be treated. And fourthly, we should treat men the way we want them to treat us. I want you to know several significant truths about the golden rule. Number one, our profession is empty unless we are living out the golden rule. The golden rule condemns us and shows us how far short we come. Secondly, how do we want men to treat us? The judgment as to how we wish to be treated is ours. We are totally responsible for our own conclusion. Our conclusion is critical, for it is how we are to treat others. It is the basis of the judgment upon ourselves. We will be judged for how we actually treat others. I think all of us need to work on the golden rule. I don't care how long we've been in the church. I don't care how long we call ourselves having been walking with God. There comes times in our lives, if we're not careful, that we will not treat people as they should be treated. And when we fall short of that, we need to acknowledge it and learn from that and experience the golden rule in our lives toward others. Thirdly, the golden rule makes all men equal. How we wish to be treated is how we should treat others, and how others wish to be treated is how they should treat us. All people, the wealthy, famous, the powerful, as well as unknown and unimportant, are all to treat each other just as they would wish to be treated. If men would practice the golden rule, the ills and aches of society would be solved. Hunger, poverty, disease, and sin. Hopefully, the Golden Rule would bring about a world of peace overnight if men would just commit themselves to it. Fifthly, course of wisdom is to live by the Golden Rule. It is the wisest thing that man can do. Why? It assures many friends and the very best in life. Many will draw close to a person who treats them well all the time, and they will respond with like treatment at least a good deal of the time. Realistically, not everyone will respond, but many will. One way to practice the Golden Rule is to ask a simple question. How would I want to be treated? Then treat the other person that way. The Golden Rule says very much the same thing as the second great law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 39. Note that Christ says both the Golden Rule and the two great commandments contain all the law, Matthew 7:12, Matthew 22 and verse 40. The laws of God and the laws of men would both be obeyed if we practice the Golden Rule and the two great commandments. The two choices of life, verses 13 and 14, the picture is not of a man standing at a crossroads, as some paint the scene, single gate, not two gates. There are two gates, but the man faces and sees only one. The man cannot see the narrow gate. It has been searched for and found. The charge is forceful. Turn from the wide gate. Search and find and enter the narrow gate. The wide gate. In the text, simplifies or implies the wide gate as the world. The narrow gate is the kingdom of heaven. The wide gate stands open. It is so wide that four things can be said about it. There's not a single hindrance to enter the wide gate. Nothing keeps a person from entering. It is as if a person naturally stands before its wide open doors. Plenty of people can entering its wide gate doors at any given time. A person has plenty of company in entering the wide gate. Thirdly, it appears to be the only gate to enter because there is so much growth around it. Are so many people entering? It is so much activity going on. The point is that a person does not even think of another gate, much less look for one. The wide gate is wide enough to include all philosophies and beliefs, no matter how extreme, all appetites and passions, all liberties and licenses, all sins and selfishness. The gate is swung wide open so that any and all can enter. Notice what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So be careful of the wide gate. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we are thankful once again for this day. We're thankful for all that are on the call. We ask, Father, that you look into each individual life and see the need. Grant us what we stand in need of. And if you're with infinite wisdom, don't see the timing to be right. Give us the strength to endure, to hold to thy unchanging hand. Father, we're so thankful for your mercy and your grace. We come on behalf of those who have been devastated by the tornado in West Tennessee. We ask, Father, that you be with those families that have lost all. Help us to look for opportunities, as Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse number 10, to do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Continue to be with this program. Help us to prepare messages that would edify, build up, and encourage and strengthen us to walk closer with thee. Be with all those that are incarcerated, especially those that are incarcerated wrongfully. We ask that you will find relief for them, that they may be released in due time. Go with us through the furtherance of this day. Help us to be mindful who we are and whose we are. Let us walk worthy of the vocation wherein we have been called. And we will not be selfish, if that will be enough. In Christ Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.